News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Thursday edition of the show. The weekend is almost here. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for the program. This is the show where we have longer conversations with people who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. If you've heard about it on WSJM News, you'll hear about it here on Our Take. But we take a little more time to delve into each particular issue. And coming up on today's show, we have multiple guests. First, we'll talk with Berrien County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy. You may have heard about this recently. On Monday, the Coast Guard asked the St. Joe City Commission to install life rings on the North Pier off of Tiscornia Beach. One of their supporters in that endeavor is County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy. She represents St. Joe Township on the County Commission. She only speaks for herself, by the way. She's not speaking for the other commissioners. But I chatted with her about why she thinks there should be these life rings over there at the pier. We'll talk with County Commissioner Leahy about that on today's program. We'll also talk with a representative of the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival. Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival. They've selected a new venue for the event this year. Usually, in the past, it's been held at Waco Beach in Bridgman each summer. But, the event's gotten too big for Waco Beach. It's not the biggest beach, so they're going to a different beach. And we'll find out about that on today's program, where they are moving this this wine festival. And we'll check in with Y Country's Matt Malone to learn about what 97.5 Y Country is doing this week. They are raising money for a very worthy cause. It's St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We'll get a little update on what their fundraising effort is all about. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Thursday edition of the program. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would talk about the issue of life rings and piers on Lake Michigan. On Monday, the United States Coast Guard came to the St. Joe City Commission meeting to ask commissioners to make a recommendation, an official safety recommendation, that life rings be installed at the North Pier. That's Tiscornia Beach. They say it's a safety issue. Those rings should be available so that if somebody falls into the lake, someone can toss them a ring, maybe give them a chance of survival. And so one of their supporters in this endeavor is County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy. Now, she's only speaking for herself as a commissioner, not for the entire county commission. But she was part of an effort back in 2014 to get life rings installed at the South Pier, and she thinks it should be done at the North Pier as well. So I talked with Commissioner Jeanette Leahy this week. Let's hear what she had to tell me. All right, we're talking to Berrien County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy. She represents St. Joe Township on the county commission. So when we look at the piers here in St. Joe, we've got two of them, the south one and the north one. Back in 2014, you were telling me the county went ahead and installed life rings at the south pier.
Right. The county added the life rings in 2014, and that was in June in 2014, and there were four saves in the first 2 weeks. Four lives were saved that first 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's a lot. Wow, it's right. I think the point that I want to stress is this is not about liability, because liability exists, yes, that is correct, but it exists all the time, every place. City, county, hospital, government, it's there, it's present. And also the city has already done life rings, one they have on the North Pier at the end, and then they have a life box also on Lions Park. So they've already assumed liability. This is no different to put life rings. It's very important that they be put, because the situation is you now have a restored lighthouse that everybody wants to come to see. Tourism will increase, and there are going to be more people walking on that pier, on that catwalk. And you're going to have elderly people and children. And as the representative from the group on the pier said, they worry about that. That is a concern. So I think that needs to be taken in consideration.
You're talking about the Heritage Museum.
Yes, yes, yes. They're saying, you know, that is a concern. They worry about the people on the walking on the, that pier. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so. A lot of people, things can happen. And I would not want to put anybody, a tourist, a resident, or anyone, in Durian County in a position where someone is drowning and you do not have a tool to help them. I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like to stand there and watch somebody drown and not be able to do anything. With a life ring, at least you have a chance of possibly saving that individual's life. Mm. So I think it's very important that these rings are put up. It's just one. And if you look all along the coast, the southwest coast, Grand Haven, South Haven, all those, they all have life rings. There's a reason for that. And they all assume the liability. Nobody's any different. So I think we have to take that liability factor and say, yes, it's present. But secondly, what is more important? Saving lives.
So when the rings were added to the South Pier in 2014, I've lived here since 2007, but I left around that time for about a year. What? Was that a difficult process to get those put together?
Yes, it was. It was very difficult. We spent about 5 years trying to work on that, yes, to get people over this hump of liability and the fact that sometimes these life rings are stolen, although that is not a problem, and it hasn't been for the last 4 years. As the chief deputy stated, it is not an issue. People are not taking them, and I think there was a realization that these drownings are real, and people want to have a tool there to help them.
Right. You know, I just got off the phone a few minutes ago with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. They were talking about being willing to help the city make this happen at the pier. As a commissioner, what's your take on what the Sheriff's Department has had to say?
I think it's great. Collaboration and partnership is the key to how to get things done in small areas and small towns. And the fact that he would take that on, I think he needs to be commended. They do an excellent job. They've done an excellent job with this for the past 4 years. And I think we can follow through with that. They know how to do it. They know exactly how to do and what to do. And I think those things are important. I think it's commendable that the sheriff would take this on.
We were talking about the difficulty the county had previously. How many years did you have to push for the rings at the South Pier?
We probably pushed about, I'm going to say, a total of 4 to 5 years. We worked very hard. But see, that's not necessary now because all the history is there. The standard is there. We know now that we have proof. Lives have been saved. South Haven has saved lives. Grand Haven has saved lives. We've saved lives. I don't think there's any more proof than the mere fact that you have lives saved.
Is it really a major expense?
No, absolutely not. These rings go from like $40 to $60. And with St. Joe City, I'm not an engineer. However, they have a catwalk, just like South Haven. There's a possibility they can attach it right on the catwalk. They would not have to put stanchions up as the county had to. So those possibilities. You're probably talking $2,500, not even, a one-time expense. And there are individuals who live in Berrien County who are willing to donate to buy life rings. We had that going for the Sheriff's Department. We have, through the Berrien County Foundation, there is a fund there for life rings.
As far as the county was concerned, you know, you mentioned the difficulty with getting it done. Where was the reluctance coming from before?
Well, there's always reluctance when you're going to bring change on, especially this. You know, it's a change. Plus, they unfortunately had the experience in 1993, which is 25 years ago, of saying, you know, this did not work then. Well, that's fine, but that's 25 years ago. Attitudes and cultures have changed.
We're talking to County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy about life rings at the pier. Is there anything else you want to say moving forward?
Yes, I guess I would urge residents of St. Joe City to take the time to go to a meeting and to let those commissioners know how you feel about this. Especially, there are many people who have experienced these drownings and they know how serious and losing a life. What is a life worth? One life ring? $40?
Right. Well, we here at the radio station had an employee who drowned off of the pier a couple of years ago. And, you know, it happens to people who have lived here their entire lives, and it can happen to someone who's not even from the area and doesn't really know how to act around the lake all that much.
That's the whole thing, and that it happens so fast. I was walking down the pier myself, and I almost slipped, and I'm so cognizant of this whole thing. You know, you just wonder. It's kind of like you really the safety, just having that tool there, not having to stand there and watch somebody drown. That's a serious thing.
That was Berrien County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy talking with me after the City Commission meeting on Monday where the Coast Guard asked the St. Joe City Commission to put life rings in at the North Pier. There are none there right now. The city used to have them, got rid of them back in the 90s due to liability concerns. And one of the issues facing them right now remains that issue of liability. The city attorney said this week, you know, if you start providing this service out there, you are responsible for it. So if they were to put rings out there and then say if one of them went missing or something and then somebody fell in and there was no ring there, conceivably the city could be liable in that situation. But the sheriff's department has offered to come in and take care of maintenance for them just as long as the city pays for it. And so Commissioner Leahy, who represents the township, St. Joe Township, is a proponent of this idea. She's not speaking for the entire county commission, just for herself there. But she's one of the people who showed up to Monday's meeting, and the city's looking at it. The city staff has been instructed to look into it, investigate all angles. So who knows? We'll find out maybe the next bit of information in a couple of weeks when they meet again. We thank Commissioner Leahy for her time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd give you an update on something that's going on at MSU. There are many changes afoot at Michigan State University following the Larry Nassar debacle. And the latest has to do with the MSU healthcare system. Big changes being made to Michigan State University's health system to prevent a repeat of the Larry Nassar situation. MSU interim president John Engler yesterday announced the university's four medical colleges will now be more closely tied together and more accessible to students, along with being less expensive.
It's our aim to use these changes to assure that patient safety and quality of care are the highest priorities, and that we have a system that really has no wrong doors for access.
Engler said athletic trainers will now be under the health system instead of the athletic department. There will be easier options for students to report sexual assaults and get mental health treatment along with physical care. President, interim MSU President John Engler announcing the hiring of Anthony Avellino as the MSU Health Team Chief Medical Officer. He'll be the Assistant Administrator for Health, Wellness, and Safety. Also, Norman Beauchamp Jr., the Dean of the College of Human Medicine, will be the Assistant Vice President for Health Affairs. He said the changes in the university's health system are aimed at preventing a repeat of what happened with Larry Nassar.
People came to us, young women and their families, and we disappointed, we failed them. And so the need to restore hope could not be greater, and we will do that.
MSU Interim President John Engler says the appointments are part of an emphasis on helping students get better access to behavioral health services. Nassar, of course, was a campus sports doctor who molested girls and young women, hundreds of them. He was sentenced to decades, up to 175 years in prison for sex assault and child pornography crimes recently. So the fallout continues from that situation. I'm also hoping to chat with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker sometime this week because members of the Senate Appropriations Committee on Higher Education are trying to get information out of MSU. Our state lawmakers want to make sure this situation doesn't repeat itself, and there's interim MSU President John Engler attempting to do the same. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and it's time for a break. When we come back, we will talk about a summer event. This is a lot more fun than what's going on at MSU or at the North Pier. The Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival. It's a big wine festival held each summer in Bridgman. They found a new location for it. We'll find out about that next segment of the show. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake at WSJM.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Thursday edition of the show. Right now, I thought I'd tell you about something state lawmakers did yesterday. Our lawmakers in Lansing, hard at work. They approved some updates to state tax laws intended to benefit regular folks such as you and me. They also got rid of those driver responsibility fees. This happened yesterday. Bills to wipe out Michigan's driver responsibility fees and forgive all outstanding debt come October 1st. They're now headed to Governor Rick Snyder for his signature. State House Speaker Tom Leonard said yesterday, he was speaking to Michigan News Network, he said the final passage of the legislation was a big deal for the roughly 300,000 people who still owe money for driver responsibility fees.
We wanted to ensure as a House Republican caucus that we were giving 300,000 people their driver's licenses back. This has been a top priority for this caucus for several months.
The House and Senate overwhelmingly passed that legislation yesterday. That's after the governor and legislative leaders reached a deal to finally get rid of these driver responsibility fees. We got plenty of reactions yesterday. Michigan Secretary of State Ruth Johnson was pleased. She's been against these fees. State Senator John Prose sent out a statement. He was glad to see them repealed as well. Because what these fees are, they're extra fees tacked on top of the fees already charged to certain offenders. That includes for offenses like drunk driving, etc. But here we are, several hundred millions of dollars owed in these fees because nobody can pay them. People lose their licenses. They can't get to work. State lawmakers began to see how that didn't make any sense. And also yesterday, lawmakers voted for some tax relief for everyone. This is adjusting Michigan's tax code in response to the federal tax reforms recently approved. Here's State House Speaker Tom Leonard again.
This is going to help the budget process go much smoother as we go forward. Certainly tax relief has been a top priority for us here in the House. It's been a priority for the Senate.
So what lawmakers did yesterday, they approved bills to gradually raise Michigan's personal tax exemption to $4,900 by 2021. That's $600 higher than under current law. That'll be a roughly $25 tax cut per person. Or $100 for a family of four. $25. Yes, I can finally retire. But that's what our state lawmakers did yesterday in Lansing. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought we'd find out what the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival will be like this year. The Michigan Tourism Council has found a new location for this event. I talked with the organizer of this big wine festival, which is held every summer. Traditionally, it's been held at Waco Beach in Bridgman. They've moved it. I talked with the festival organizer, Kathy Sturm. Let's hear what she had to tell me. All right, Kathy, you are the administrator of the Lake Michigan Wine Trail. You've put out word you're going to hold the annual wine festival in a new location this year, correct?
Yes, we did. And we have been listening to our loyal guests year after year. This will be our 13th year. And they felt that the previous venue had become a bit too small, and so we decided to look into possibilities where we would have more room and be able to not only expand on the number of guests that can come, but also opportunities while they're there for the day. So we went to Warren Dunes State Park and had a conversation with Andrew and Terry Lynn there at the office, and we got things rolling, and we are very happy to announce that it will be at the Dunes, Warren Dunes this year. Wow. And we'll be in the far parking lot, so those of you who are familiar with the park, you'll come in and follow the road all the way around and just keep heading all the way back, and you'll see us. And lots of parking so that you don't have to shuttle in and out. That was another concern that our guests had, that they wanted to be able to come and go as they pleased and still be able to enjoy the entire day. So we're very excited about it, and it's absolutely beautiful out there.
It is. Great. And so guests will also be able to maybe go exploring the dunes if they like.
Yes, they will, and or if you know, if it's a really hot day, they can actually go and take a dip in the lake and sit on the beach for a little bit, and then come back in and enjoy some more wine.
Okay, so now I take it this means, you know, the fact that you need a new location indicates the festival's been growing.
Yes, it has. It definitely has been growing. And also the number of wineries are growing as well. New for this year, we have Lake Michigan Vintners, which is part of the Lake Michigan College Wine and Viticulture Program. Mm. So we welcome them as well. And of course, you know, the tasting of the new wines that the wineries will be offering, and be able to taste either, you know, as a taste or by the glass, whichever you prefer, and just enjoy what's out there. We'll also be having food trucks this year. That's also something new that will be, because we now have more room, we can bring in some food trucks and local restaurant catering. And also, we always have had great music, which is a huge draw as well to the event. And we will continue to offer that. And tickets sales have been open since the beginning of the year. Or even before that, it was before Christmas, because we thought, what a great gift. And now with Valentine's Day coming up, what a great gift to give someone and be able to have a plan for a beautiful summer day, tasting wine, enjoying the dunes, looking at the lake, and just having a great time.
Great.
Something to look forward to.
So how many people typically come out to the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival?
We had in 2016, which is when we decided if, we were getting a little too tight, we had almost, we had about 4,500 people.
Okay.
And it was a little tight. So this year, we're expanded to the point we're probably very comfortably can accommodate 6,000 people.
Right, you usually hold it at Waco Beach in Bridgman, which it is a very, very nice location, but it's not exactly the largest venue.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's still a nice location, but when you grow, you don't wear clothes that are too small because it's uncomfortable.
So this is the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival held every summer. You've announced this year it's being moved down to Warren Dunes State Park, and of course this is a festival where people can come and sample wines made by local winemakers.
All of the member wineries of the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Trail, and these are award-winning wines, and some of them are even received international recognition. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a good quality wine. You're getting a great taste of Southwest Michigan. And why not make a weekend of it? There are campgrounds there at Warren Dunes State Park. It's my understanding that they have over 200 campsites. So come for the weekend. Bring the family. Mm-hmm. We are family friendly. And you can have your campsite all set up, walk over to the festival. When you're finished, walk home. There will also be an event after our festival ends on that Saturday, June 16th, where the park puts on a program to talk about the stars and the constellations and have stories, to tell. And then the next day, stay for the day there and go and visit the wineries and taste the wines, more wines that were not available at the festival. And Lemon Creek Winery is hosting their 33rd annual Father's Day festival at their winery. So there's another opportunity to just partake in the weekend and have a great time.
Okay, so the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival held each year. I know in Bridgman there'd be shuttles going back and forth between town and down to the beach all day long, bringing people back and forth. And now that you've found this new location, people can even go camping. They don't have to take a shuttle.
True. And the nice part, too, is that you won't have the shuttles coming in and out. You actually can drive right in and park in the lot right next to where the festival takes place. So there's plenty of parking, and there is a fee to enter the park because that's part of the state park policy. And it's per car, and there are links on our website to check into that. But if you already have your Michigan passport, that gives you access to all of the state parks in Michigan, then you don't have anything to worry about. You just come right on in.
Okay. And tickets to the wine festival are how much?
They're $10 online.
Okay.
And then if you want to wait until the day of, it's $15 at the gate. Kids 12 and under are free.
Okay, we've been talking with Kathy Sturm. She's the administrator of the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Trail. They've announced their festival this summer. It's June 16th. It'll be held at Warren Dunes State Park this year instead of Waco Beach in Bridgman because the festival's growing. There's more wines being showcased. All kinds of people come out there for the event. They thought it was time to move up to a bigger venue. Kathy, is there anything else you would like to add about this summer's wine festival?
I don't think so at this time. I think we've mentioned, oh, it will be there rain or shine, and it's just going to make a much more enjoyable experience because of the venue in itself. It's just, you know, showing them one of the best parts of Michigan.
Okay, that was Kathy Sturm, Lake Michigan Shore Wine Trail Administrator, talking with us about the Wine Fest. You can learn more about that event at lakemichiganwinefest.com. It's been moved down to Warren Dunes State Park, so no longer in Bridgman. But you know, Warren Dunes is not far from Bridgman. You just keep going south on Red Arrow Highway. Pretty quickly, you wind up down in Sawyer, where you can find the Wine Festival on June 16th. Of this year. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now we'll take a break. When we come back for the final segment of today's program, we will chat with Matt Malone of Y Country Radio, WSJM sister station. They're doing their St. Jude Children's Research Hospital Radiothon today and tomorrow down at Shadowland Pavilion. They're raising money for St. Jude Children's Hospital. It is a very worthy cause. We'll talk with Matt about what's going on down there. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on Our Take, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Thursday edition of the show. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. We air the full conversations with folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. So far on today's program, we talked with County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy about the idea of life rings at the North Pier in St. Joe. The pressure is on the city right now to make this a reality. We'll see what happens there. The Coast Guard's goal is to have them installed by May, but, you know, it's the city's job, so we'll see if that happens. Also on today's program, we learned about the Lake Michigan Shore Wine Trails, Lake Michigan Shore Wine Festival. It's been moved down to Warren Dunes State Park this year from its traditional location at Waco Beach in Bridgman. Right now, I thought I'd give you a little update on what happened with Cornerstone Alliance this morning. Cornerstone Alliance held their business recognition breakfast in Benton Harbor this morning. That's when they celebrate the innovation and achievements of outstanding companies and individuals here in Michigan's great Southwest. More than 450 guests celebrated successes of outstanding companies and individuals at the business recognition breakfast this morning, hosted by Cornerstone Alliance, which is, of course, Berrien County's lead economic development agency, as well as Cornerstone Chamber of Commerce. So this is both Cornerstones there. The keynote speaker was Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette. He talked about the state's pro-business climate. Bill Schuette, possibly our next governor. Also speaking at the event was Cornerstone Alliance's Rob Cleveland. He said, quote, "We are thrilled to give these Berrien County companies and individuals this well-deserved recognition for the exceptional work they do to make Berrien County a more attractive place to live and work." He added, "The diversity of the recipients shows Berrien County is an inclusive and quality environment where people of all types and companies can be successful." So, Cornerstone Alliance award winners this morning were, I wish I had a drum roll effect, the Mason Jar Cafe received the Micro Enterprise Award this morning. The Mason Jar in Benton Harbor's Arts District, it's been there since 2014. Cornerstone says the restaurant's a testament to their passion for serving a local scratch-made and organic food. They received that award, and James Cousins accepted it. JR Automation Technologies, they received the Manufacturing Large Business Award. JR Automation, founded back in 1980, one of the leading global systems integrators and solutions providers for industrial automation. They were awarded the Big Manufacturers Award this morning. Indiana Michigan Power's Cook Nuclear Power Plant received the Economic Growth Award at the Cornerstone Awards this morning. The Cook Plant According to Cornerstone, has been one of the major driving forces in the economy of Southwest Michigan ever since plans were announced for the place back in 1959. Cornerstone says the place has operated safely and effectively for several decades now, provides electricity for 1.5 million homes, so it got the Economic Growth Award. Gloria Ender received the Merlin Hansen Exemplary Leader Award. Gloria Ender is the owner and chief executive officer of Freedom Finishing. That's an electro and powder coating business. In 1988, she started that company. She got the Exemplary Leader Award this morning. And finally, Norma Tirado Kellenberger received the David R. Whitwam Outstanding Achievement Award at the Cornerstone Awards this morning. Norma Tirado Kellenberger is Lakeland Health's Vice President of Human Resources, and she has received this prestigious award this year from Cornerstone, so that's the big Cornerstone Alliance Awards. I know Pat Moody was out there this morning, and we salute all the fine businesses and individuals who received these awards for making the economy of Michigan's great Southwest tick. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, one last thing to tell you about today, and that is the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital Radiothon, Y Country Radio, our sister station over there on the other side of the building. They're down at Shadowland Pavilion right now raising money for a very worthy cause. I had a chance to catch up with morning host Matt Malone to talk about this event. Let's find out what Matt and his cohorts are up to the next couple of days down at Shadowland Pavilion. All right, Matt, so Y Country Radio, you guys are down there at Shadowland Pavilion this week. Tell us what you're doing.
So 2 days of us going and trying to raise funds for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, a hospital that a lot of people don't realize is in Memphis, but helps hospitals all over the country. Anyone who has any kind of department focused on cancer benefits from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, whether you're an adult or a child.
And there is something about St. Jude Children's Hospital that makes it stand out from other hospitals.
The great thing about St. Jude is the fact that no bill goes to the families. Everything that happens when the children are being taken care of, to the hotel rooms, to food, is all funded by donations. And that's why this is so important to get people to donate, because they're actually helping to make sure that the only thing that the families have to worry about is their child, not any money.
Okay, so Y Country is broadcasting live from the Shadowland Pavilion today and tomorrow. If somebody wants to help and make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, what should they do?
We're going to be at the Shadowland Pavilion, downtown St. Joe. We're going to be there all day, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we encourage anybody who is wanting to help to come down and donate.
And so the whole station crew is kind of hanging around down there the next couple of days, all day?
We're going to have some of your favorite Y Country radio personalities broadcasting live out there to make a difference.
And you mentioned if somebody wants to donate, they can show up there. And are there other ways?
If you want to donate, you can stop down and see us, or you can call 800-942-8709. Or, again, you can go to our website, 975ycountry.com. We'll have a link for you to donate there.
We're talking to Y Country morning host Matt Malone about St. Jude. Anything else you want to add?
I've personally benefited from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in a roundabout way, with my mom having cancer as a child 2 times. So without St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, I wouldn't be here.
Okay, that's Y Country Radio's Matt Malone talking about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They're out there for the next 2 days at Shadowland Pavilion raising money for this very worthy cause. It is a hospital that treats kids with cancer for free. How could anyone be against that? They're a very worthy cause, and you can make your donation this week. You can go to Y Country's website, or you can call the number that Matt cited there, or you can show up. Just go down there, pay a visit to the Y Country crew, and make a donation to St. Jude Children's Hospital. Last year, Y Country Radio raised $32,500 for this worthy cause. Hopefully, they'll break their record this year, and they've been doing this for, this is the 12th year now they've been doing this. So that's the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital Radiothon underway as we speak down at Shadowland Pavilion. Run on down there, mosey on down there and make a donation. They'll be down there until 7 p.m. and then tomorrow they'll be out there as well. And go to 975ycountry.com to find a way you can donate online. We appreciate Y Country's efforts and Matt's time there talking with us about the radio Thon. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. That does it for today's edition of the program. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we will learn about a education program here in Berrien County run by Connexus. It's designed to help at-risk students acquire job skills. It recently got a large grant, $250,000. We'll talk with someone from Kinexus about that program on tomorrow's show. We'll also chat with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker, who has been named the Michigan Chiefs of Police Association's Legislator of the Year. We'll learn about that on tomorrow's program with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. And also, I will welcome our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, to pop in here. He is our local, our in-house blockbuster expert. He and I will chat about what's coming out at the box office for this weekend. There's some big superhero movie opening up. And we'll get a review from Jacob for Black Panther tomorrow on the program. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This has been Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. We should be back same time, same station tomorrow. In the meantime, have an excellent rest of your day.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment. So when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay.
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.